You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with myself and Viv Govender. Viv Govender is from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. The first thing that we need to mention is what happened last night. In other words, the release of the minutes of the meeting of the US Federal Reserve, the FOMC. And it more or less hinted, Viv, before we get into it, I'll just set the scene, that interest rate rises will be slightly tempered compared to the 75 basis points we've been used to, maybe 50 basis points. That's the first thing to point out. Then the South African Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee came out with the opposite, a 75 basis point rise to 7%. And then there's a few corporate releases that warrant attention, notably Mr. Price. Let's start with the Fed, please. Not a surprise, I don't think.
No, I mean, remember, the market is up dramatically from basically the middle, the start of November, end of October. After we had those last inflation numbers from the US, we saw the market rise dramatically. And that is like had to be anticipated because, you know, the whole thing pushing the market down right now is interest rate hikes. And if the inflation rate was basically going to be a bit lower than expected, then interest rate hikes should be lower than expected as well. And of course, like I said, the mechanism is going to be interest rate. Inflation affects interest rates, affects markets. And the fact that we saw inflation lower, markets went up. The in-between part was the interest rates were not going to rise as fast as expected. So yeah, you're quite correct. There was no way this was not going to, you know, in some way be happening. It would have been a big surprise had they not done, you know, made some acknowledgement of the drop in interest rates.
Yeah,
or inflation rates.
Exactly right. And of course, this doesn't take into account what we've seen recently on the market, and that was in the last week a really big fall, like 8-9% in the price of oil. And I know there's core inflation, and I know there's normal headline inflation. But on the other hand, it is the biggest component when it comes to rising prices in the United States and other countries as well. So next month might be even more of an affirmation that interest rates and inflation has peaked.
Yeah, look, I mean, in the US, it may have been one of the kickers here, but remember, housing prices were also rising dramatically before this. And housing, I think, is an even bigger component of the US's, you know, inflation figure here.
Yes.
And that had been rising dramatically. I mean, if you look at the numbers coming through, especially if you factor in what the monthly payments were as interest rates rose. I mean, I think in a year, in some places, your monthly payment had doubled. This is your bond payment, not even your, like, if you buy a new house versus a year earlier, you'd be paying at double. The U.S. has a smarter system than places like the U.K. in which you fix your rates. In the U.K., I think you need to renegotiate all the time, and those guys are really suffering. But even in the U.S., if you're buying a new house, you're finding your actual monthly payment was going to double just because of the fact that the prices of the market in the house were up, plus the fact that interest rates were also higher as well.
Okay, what about the South African Reserve Bank? 75 basis points higher, despite the fact that their forecast is just a tiny fall in the predicted GDP growth. They said it would be, I think it was, 1.8 or 1.8? Anyway, tiny percentage points. They didn't say to themselves, well, if it's going down, that was it. It was a 2% down to 1.9, now down to 1.8. So they acknowledge that the economy is slowing down. And also there's a stable sort of surrounding of the CPI inflation, i.e. 7.6%, which we had this week as well. And yet they still were bold enough to go 75 basis points higher. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, look, I'm actually seeing a bit of a divergence in the world. So we have the U.S., inflation peaked, inflation coming down, you know, falling by more than expected, etc. That's not the case in Europe, and that's not the case quite in South Africa as well. I mean, that 7.6 we expect, I think, was 7.4, which is obviously, you know, and it's also a bad surprise for us. I mean, we saw the UK number come out as well, higher than expected a few days ago. So I think there is a divergence in what the world sees and what the US sees. The US, to a certain extent, like big drivers like housing, you know, under pressure, their energy self-sufficient. Whereas we in South Africa, you know, we import, of course, and the rand does affect that. We also, if you look at South Africa right now, you know, also experiencing things like load shedding and a whole number of other factors that is probably going to also affect growth, even if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, interest rates were rising. So they were dealing with a pretty tough situation. And I think the fact that the market was expecting 75 basis points, had they not done that, you'd have seen the rand weaken again, especially after it had gotten a bit of strength coming through, you know. And if we see the rand weakening, that's going to import inflation anyway. So I think they had to do what they did.
Yeah, the rand's behaved itself beautifully. I don't know if it's anything to do with the interest rate differential between ourselves, or rather South Africa and Europe and the United States and elsewhere, or what it is, or money coming into the country. I don't know. But did the Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetša Kanyago, say anything after the decision that was meaningful to you, Viv?
Leah, look, I mean, he's a pretty stable kind of guy. You know, obviously, I kind of giggled to a certain extent when I listened to the predictions about inflation next year and the kind of confidence he has, like, you know, it was going to be this much or that much, and what the price of oil is going to be next year, you know, in terms of inflation and having like decimal points. And I think if you could do that, you'd be the world's richest oil trader, especially like you mentioned, the fact that the oil price went from 90 to basically, you know, below 85 in a few days. It was like, you know, those kind of moves are something we have to expect. And it's, you know, the assumptions for next year's oil price, next year's, you know, energy prices are just like, you know, thumbsucks at the moment. There's no way you can guarantee that. But like I said, I think what he said was perfectly correct. He's acting in the right way, in the only way he can act, quite frankly. You can't disappoint the markets in this environment. It's just too, the rand is just too vulnerable to any kind of move. And basically, I mean, like I said, except for some of his insane, not saying insane, but I mean, you have to do these things. But for instance, he's forecasting prices for oil in 2023. You know, it's very unlikely
that it's a mug's game, anyone has any idea. As they say in England,
yeah,
no one can predict rather what the oil price is going to do in the next 23 minutes, let alone in 2023. Yeah. But we'll come to later on.
The one thing I want to mention is that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, but one thing I want to mention before we finish off here is, of course, it doesn't affect, you know, the economy as, you know, badly, but it does affect people, is that the food inflation price is still going to be, you know, above 6% next year after being 8.8% this year. And again, you know, this is, I mentioned it a couple of times, but it is, you know, especially in a country like South Africa where people are very poor, you know, it is a bit of a tragedy that we are seeing this higher than inflation food price increases going forward.
Yeah, I will mention the United Kingdom, where the last print last month was 17% increase in basic foodstuffs, groceries, in other words. So, yeah, across the world, yeah, whether you're poor, you're rich or indifferent. Mm-hmm. It's not a good situation that people are going through at the moment. OK, the Stock Exchange News Service. I'll go through the list here. First up this morning, Stefanuti Stocks, share price up 6.2%. I think I'll just refresh my screen. It's not really one you probably look at these days because it's so thinly traded. The next one is the one that you want to talk about and will have startled most people. Mr. Price, interims for the 26 weeks ended 1st of October and cash dividend declaration, share price down nearly 8%. That was a surprise.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it also shows what they're experiencing here. Firstly, load shedding. So they come out and say load shedding has cost them quite a significant amount of, you know, hours. They said up to 80,000 trading hours have been lost by their group across the last year.
Yeah.
It was so we're talking about, you know, a huge amount of time in which basically this business is not operating at full capacity, 56% of trading days. And, you know, because the situation in Eskom, I mean, they just got effectively a loan from PetroSA, was giving them 50 million litres of diesel, even though they can't pay for it at the moment. They're figuring out a way to pay for it just to keep the lights running for the next 2 weeks. This is a disaster on a... But you know, we've gotten so used to the whole load shedding thing, it's a disaster. And we just see Mr. Price show that. And the second thing, which I did not know about, but apparently it was an issue, that there was a disruption in basically social grant payments. And they mentioned that as also a reason for why they were seeing a drop in sales. I had not been aware of that, you know, and that's again, it's just, you know, part of the insulation you see between, you know, people that don't rely on the social grant system and those that do. Mm. But the fact that there was a disruption in social grants meant that they were basically, they said inconsistent a non-payment of social grants, which is obviously, you know, a very troublesome idea. And also that affected their business.
But would that have been a very short-term thing? I mean, okay, you don't get your grant because of some system error or some IT fault or something, and therefore in the next couple of days after that event, you'll get your grant. But has it been something more sinister than that, Viv?
I'm not sure about that. Like I said, it took me by surprise when I heard about it, and I haven't looked into it in any detail. But it was sufficient enough for Mr. Price to mention it and to talk about the fact that it affected their sales up there with load shedding, which took 56 trading days, 56% of the trading days being affected in 80,000 hours. And they mentioned it together. You know, it obviously must have been some impactful event. And remember as well, I mean, we're talking about people earning so little money. Just the act of going and picking up the grant is a major cost event for them. Yeah. You know. So yeah, it is a thing, and like I said, again, a shame on me for not knowing about it, but it wasn't an event that affected them.
Well, 8% is a very, very big move for a very highly regarded company. It has been volatile. I remember it had that issue of getting the wrong stock in and climate differences between 1 year to the next, and they bought too much of this and too little of that. It's always a little bit. I find it very interesting, Mr. Price. I'm going to read out a few other names, and you can say yes or no, or yes to all of them, or no to all of them, or a combination of the two. Sogo Sun Gaming Limited, share price down 0.4%. Results came out. Lewis Group, results came out as well. Share price up 2.75% on my delayed screen. Growth Point Properties, investor update for the 3 months. Carp Agri came out with their financial statements for the year end. Does that mean results? I suppose it does. 2.7% higher. Any of those that you follow, Viv?
Firstly, Lewis Group, if you look at that, you'll see that they mention as well, you know, these things are maybe not investable stocks, but they give you an idea of what's happening in the South African economy, which is, I think, very interesting.
Yes.
They mentioned that the credit business is doing reasonably well, but the cash business, especially a store that's called UFO, I think it's United Furniture Operator, something like that, yeah, has been really hit badly by the fact that the cash business, people have no cash. They buy on credit at the moment. Is the long story short, basically, around it. Again, indicating real pressure coming to the South African consumer. And despite that, you know, you've seen South Africans, even in downturns, you know, maintaining their retail, you know, activity, even if it's been funded by credit. But it makes you wonder what's going to happen to that as interest rates continue to rise. You know, and the economy comes under increasing pressure. So that's obviously something to be looked at. With regards to growth points, you know, looking at what's happening with that company here, the share price has not really recovered from the downturn we saw around COVID. There was a brief uptick, but it's nowhere near, you know, I think from pre-COVID till now, it's still down like a third. And this is something I think that longer term is going to be a very interesting, you know, aspect. When are we going to be seeing that, you know, return to normality, if ever, around you know, real estate? I do think that it's quite possible that we've seen an inflection point where real estate becomes totally, you know, revalued. Because remember, real estate is all about location. Location depends on activity. Right now, a lot of the activity around, you know, the major like population centers was due to employment. If you're getting more from home, from work from home, more online retail and so on, you're going to find a lot of this repricing happening. And I'm quite interested to see what's going to happen with regards to the property sector, especially going forward. I'm not going to invest in it, but I'd like to see what's going to happen.
If you had to invest in it, and I said, Viv, I'll never speak to you again unless you tell me the company that you would favour should you want to go into the property sector of the JSE, surely it must be Growth Point, because you talk about volumes and you talk about you know, position and everything. Growth Point's got some well-positioned properties, hasn't it?
Look, yeah, it does, if we return to the normal patterns. Remember, if you take any growth point property from, say, the middle of metropolitan Joburg and put it into the middle of the Karoo, the valuation just disappears. The only difference between the two places is location, right? And location depends on the economic activity happening in those places. And if economic activity is shifting because of online activity, because work from home, because of, you know, and these are real shifts that have happened, as well as no online shopping, you know, the location valuation has changed. And that's going to really change what matters. I mean, you can see that back in history when you look at the car being invented. Suddenly, things that were much further away from the city center became much more valuable. What used to be farmland suddenly became, you know, residential property because the car made it, you know, goes useful for someone that's going to work in the city. If you can use an internet, you know, connection and make virtually anywhere in the world a workplace, you know, the valuation of certain city or probably the closest cities or in cities are really going to be diminished because of that, I believe.
Yeah. When I look at Growthpoint, I always think of the V&A. I mean, I lived in Cape Town for a number of years, and I don't go to the V&A. I didn't go to the V&A to go to a shop. I went to the V&A to go to a restaurant or just enjoy the aquarium with my kids. Mm. All that sort of thing. So it's an amalgamation of all different activities, and position is what Growthpoint has got there. So that's one thing. But anyway, that's just one of their properties. Okay, so you don't like property. That's what you're saying.
I do find that the point you made is very interesting, is that if we do see a shift to work from home, we do see a shift from remote work and so on, what you will find is the V&A becoming more valuable, because you're going to be stuck at home all the time. When you go out, you want to go out.
Yeah.
You don't want to just go just eat around where you are. And that's going to make these destination places more attractive. But will that be enough to make up for all the other, less destination places, like we say, inverted commas, the just normal malls or the normal office buildings out there that are going to be hurt because of the same event?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, the destination places. I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent here. But if you're in Cape Town, you want to do some shopping and want to get a bite to eat and have a look at the beautiful ocean and the beautiful mountain behind you, you go to the V&A. It's very obvious. What do you do? What do you do in Johannesburg? What do you do?
Oh, quite frankly, you basically wait to go to Cape Town or Durban. Oh, actually, Cape Town or Durban has been a bit of a mess for the last 2 years.
Okay.
The malls, quite frankly, the West, East, and North Gate malls, South Gate malls, are effectively the same thing. We have all these gigantic malls, but you walk into one, you walk into all. There's nothing special about any particular one of them. So, yeah, there's no destinations happening there.
Okay. Bad luck. Bad luck, Viv. I feel exactly the same in the south of the Netherlands. But anyway, let's have a look now at some spot prices, if we can, and start with the Rand, which was in the low 1690s earlier on. It's now 1701. Of course, the States is closed today because of Thanksgiving. There's still some futures markets open, but essentially the US is closed. So markets are very thin. A dollar Rand is 1701. British pound against the Rand is 2063. Euro Rand is 1772. Euro dollar 104.15, a 1% gain for the euro, fall for the US dollar. I think mainly fall for the US dollar, actually, in this case, because of what the Fed did last night. And the British pound, look at this thing, storming ahead at 121.25. It was 103 after that so-called mini budget, the disastrous foray into trying to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer by Kwasi Kwarteng. Now then, Dow Jones, S&P, NASDAQ, of course, closed today. But we do have the S&P 500 futures. They'll probably be closing quite soon. But anyway, they're up 0.3% after a good session last night as well. 4,045, let's call it. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield has closed at 3.69%. The South African, after the Reserve Bank decision, 10.155%, to be precise. And Bitcoin, 16,517, up a third of a percent. Any other news out there on this quiet day? Because let's face it, it's a four-day weekend and markets will be very dull until Monday morning, I think, Viv.
Yeah, most certainly. And also, when you look at European markets, basically slightly positive to flat, despite the fact that we had, like you said, that reasonably good news about the US about the FOMC minutes. I think, we're probably going to be heading into a quieter period. We've got, maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks more of active trading before we head into Christmas. The week around Christmas is going to be quite dead. We're probably going to be back to normal activity just after the new year. I think it's going to be a pretty quiet. We'll see a drift up.
You're almost saying that the year's over. People want the year to be over. And again, oh shit! I lost you there, Viv, for about 10 seconds. Can you go back to that? It's going to be quiet. I think you were saying something like that.
Sorry, I thought we just lost you. So yeah, obviously with the stuff happening in Europe around energy, we mentioned before that cold snap, and the stuff that's happening, in terms of global. Currency uncertainty, who knows what it's going to be like, but normally you'd expect a quieter, less volatile period ending to the end of the year.
Let's hope so, but famous last words. Okay, moves on the JSE today on my screen, and you can add to the ups and downs as freely as you wish. Hammerson up 5.1%, Sibanye Stillwater up 3.8%, Anglo Gold a 2.8% winner, Prosus up 2 2/3, as is Naspers. On the downside, the aforementioned Mr. Price actually closed down 8.1%. Alpha Min down 4.5%. Sasol down 4.2%. Telkom shed 3.4%. This one looks really vulnerable to me, Viv. We'll have a chat about that in a second. And Karoo down 3.1%. Can I focus on Telkom, please? It's suddenly 33.79. And from its peak in the 50s, when people were talking about deals and all sorts of things, and the fact that it's got so much infrastructure and it's, the NAV is so big, it suddenly looks a bit vulnerable to me.
It's always been a bit vulnerable. I mean, look, the thing with Telkom is it has massive assets. And at one time, I remember that someone looked at the valuation of their property, just the property holdings of the company. It was like multiples of what the actual share price was. The problem with Telkom is it's never been able to actually convert those assets into an income stream. You know, other than selling things, it really can't like really fully utilize the kind of assets it has under its belt. And that's the reason that we've seen this share price under such pressure. I mean, right now the PE ratio is 6.5, you know what I mean? This is a company that you would think has the ability to do something in this market. You compare it, for instance, to like an MTN or a Vodacom. I mean, the MTN, share price, you know, in terms of the market cap, sorry, not share price, but market cap, is sitting at about a quarter of a trillion rands, okay? Telkom is not even sitting at one-tenth of that, you know? And if you consider the advantage it had starting off and the innate infrastructure advantages it also has, it's just a case of, I think, the culture has never been able to adapt to the private sector. And that makes it, much more vulnerable, to any kind of competition, any kind of thing intervening in its ecosystem. And the fact of the matter is they also mentioned the fact that they are seeing, you know, as you would expect in this kind of environment, you know, LTE data really cutting into voice, really cutting into that really lucrative voice sector. You know, why go and spend, you know, a fortune on voice when you can buy data for relatively cheaply and get a better, if not as good, if you're not better, you know, voice phone call out of it if you wanted to. You know, that I think is something that they have to be dealing with. And again, coming back to that point about working from home, if you're working from home, you can use your fiber, you don't have to worry about your mobile data, you know what I mean? That also, I think, is making a difference to their overall bottom line.
And the other thing is, when you talk about property, or rather when the bean counters talk about property, they sit down and say, okay, we've got to get our results out now, chaps. Now, we've got that huge building, which is at the moment unoccupied, and it's just in the wrong part of Pretoria. It's a great big brown building, and it used to house around about 375 people all doing their work. But that was in the 1980s. Hasn't been occupied since then. But the last sale in this area was X. So let's put that down, shall we, as part of our property portfolio. And everyone says, no one's going to buy that. No one's going to buy it. You can say you've got all the assets in the world. If you can't sell them, then they're not assets. They are a liability rather than an asset. So I would say, and this is my view, it's not Viv Govender's, it's not strictlybusinesspodcast.com's, I say that Telkom is going down to between 15 and 20 rand per share.
Okay. Possibly buys them.
any other companies that caught your eye today, up or down?
Yeah, also the Sasol as well, you mentioned. I think that's also very interesting. What's happening in the oil market right now is very interesting, I would find. I mean, I think what you're looking at, for instance, with regards to WTI, oil prices are pretty much showing us, them coming to the point at which Biden said he's going to start buying, back into the market. But if you look at, this is that peak earlier in the year where they went to basically close to, 450, that price of Sasol is down about 30%. And like you mentioned, we are seeing, oil prices down dramatically, and volatile as well. I mean, 89 back to 83 within the period of 3 days. Currently you're looking at WTI below 80 at 77. And remember, I think it was around 67 to 75 is where the US is going to start buying, basically trying to replenish its strategic petroleum reserves. So I think you're probably going to find a bit of a floor coming in if it falls another, say, $5 from here. Some of the stuff that's causing it to fall is, for instance, that stuff in China, which is temporary. So I think that you're looking at Sasol, you might be seeing an opportunity if you think prices are going to turn down for the oil anytime soon. Or do you think the rand is also probably longer term getting weaker?
Very good, Viv. Let's have a look at the closing JSE indices, please.
we are seeing the overall market was positive for the day, up just about 0.3%, something similar to what we saw in Europe. In terms of different sectors, resources up almost the same, 0.37, industrials up just about 0.6, and financials basically down 0.44. Maybe they are worrying a little bit about that the interest rate payments, whether the customers are going to be taking less loans out there. So you saw round about the time that the interest rate announcement was made, the market was then also the financial sector was basically just negative, slightly negative, almost flat for the day. And there was a noticeable drop thereafter to end up, like I said, about just under 0.5% down for the day. I would suspect that has to do with the fact that the interest rate announcements make some of the bankers that they are, think that their business is going to be more difficult going forward.
Quite right. Tomorrow's going to be a very quiet day. US is closed. Well, it's not closed, but essentially it is closed. All the reserve banks have done their thing. So people looking forward to, in the States, a four-day weekend, and us, a very quiet Friday, if you haven't already taken time off. Viv Govender, hope you have a lovely weekend. Viv is from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.